how to walk on water. We all talk of faith and believe that faith will change most all of our circumstances we face in our lives. We go around quoting Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We get excited about the verses that follow that up, the heroes of faith, how that God moved on them a long time before he ever, moved on us, and they've gone on before us and saw God move. And but sometimes when it comes to our own faith and exploits in Jesus Christ, we sometimes maybe feel like we come up short. We read all these great things, and we read about the Apostle Paul and Peter and all these guys, and Jesus, of course, you're not going to measure up, do what Jesus did, you know that. But he said if you have faith, you can move mountains, and he gave us all this authority in his name to cast out demons and pray for the sick and see them recover. And he gave us all this authority, but sometimes we just don't feel like we measure up, and maybe feel like the exploits of faith are just for a chosen few. I don't believe that's the way. I believe it's for everybody. I think we all have the hope lying within us, of course, and the ability through Jesus Christ to do mighty things in the name of Jesus for his glory. The things when we pray for the sick around here, it's not for our glory, it's for his glory. I can't do anything by myself. I don't care what that Sister Shirley said 15 years ago over me. It don't make a difference what she said, that there'd be healing flowing in my hands. If Jesus don't put the healing in my hands, there's not going to be any healing in my hands, regardless of what that prophet has said. She was prophesying on the anointing, and I believed her. I took her at her word, and it was God's will, and we saw a lot of things happen right after that, and I still see things happen. So I believe it's so, but that in itself didn't make a difference. It was what God said and how we believe what God said. So it's not the truth that it's just for a few. So have you ever sensed God calling you to do something? Have you ever sensed that in your life, that God called you to do something? Of course, I have. God called me. I sensed a long time ago God calling me to pastor this church, and I sensed it in my spirit. I knew it, and so I began preparing for the calling. I spent some time in the desert. Moses spent some time in the desert, if you'll remember. He was in Egypt for 40 years. He went to the backside of a desert, spent 40 years there getting Egypt out of him, preparing to do what God asked him to do. So maybe, and this is not what I'm going to preach about, but just think about this for a minute. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and maybe something for you to do, and maybe you haven't done it. You've sensed it. You know God wants you to do it, but you haven't done it yet. Maybe it's because he's still preparing you. Or maybe you've decided to over-prepare. I think that's it sometime. God hadn't quite directed, when God tells you to go, you go. When God tells you to do it, you do it. But there is a time of preparation. See, if I'd have jumped out when he first started calling me to preach, when he first started calling me to preach, I started preaching. I started preparing for pastoral work. But I didn't just say, okay, God called me to preach, and I went and started trying out for churches. There was a season of preparation. I even went and preached at some churches and two or three different churches, and two different churches wanted me as their pastor, and one of them, I accepted it. And then the next day, God worked me over real good and said, they gave me the key and everything. The next day, I had to make a trip back over to Mustang, Oklahoma, and say, I'm not taking that church, your church, because it's not God's will. I'm not ready yet. They just want a pastor real bad, and they want a young pastor with a young family. But it wasn't God's timing. I went up to Vinco, Oklahoma. I did go to Verdon once too, and it wasn't God's will. And I went to Vinco, Oklahoma. And I wasn't trying out, but my bishop told them I was. He led them to believe I was coming to try out for their church. And I got up there, and after the service, an elderly gentleman took us to his house for lunch, and he looked at us, and he said, we found our pastor. I go, no, sir, you haven't found a pastor. I didn't come up here to try out. I came up here to fill in. So you got somebody to try out. I'm not trying out for your church. Oh, yeah, we want you. Didn't he? Yeah, we want you. I said, no, sir. So I got me and my bishop. I told him, you shouldn't have told them folks that. You led them wrong. Well, Brother Stone, I was just hoping once you got up there and felt the anointing and seen the need that you'd go ahead and just accept it. I said, no, sir, that wasn't the way it's going to be. Besides that, you wasn't going to put me into a two-bedroom, 13, 12-by-50 trailer house with my family. Then right after that, well, you say, well, what's wrong with you? Well, it wasn't God's will. That's what's wrong. Right after that, my wife got pregnant. We're going to have 3 kids in that little house. Our world fell apart. I mean, fell apart. She wept for 9 months. So we went to another, you know, God had a plan. God had a plan. He had a place, but we prepared. So I felt God's sense him call, but there's a time of preparation that's very important. And then once you get the time of preparation, there's a time of obedience. You obey God. You go where he tells you to go. You lean on him, and then you obey him, and then he'll miraculously open doors for you and give you a supernatural peace and assurance that you're doing what you're supposed to do. That's how God works. So you have to put your faith to test sometime. And so when God tells you to do something, you put your faith to test, and you like us, we opened this little church, we quit our jobs, we went to serving the Lord. And it was a trying time at times, but it worked out because God was in it. God was in it. And so, although it was exciting, it was terrifying. And we've had some of the best times in our lives, and we've had some of the worst times in our lives. I mean, real serious. It's been good, and it's been really good, and sometimes it's been really bad. I kind of like it kind of even, you know, kind of in the middle. It might be super good, but just don't let it be bad, Lord. Well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm just telling you, sometimes when you do what God tells you to do, there's still hardships and heartaches. There still is. That don't mean you quit. You keep doing what God told you to do. And so there's even been times that our faith was as high as it could possibly be. And then there's been times that fear would start to emerge and waves of doubt would flood our hearts. It's just the way it is. It's going to be that way for you. And so we need to learn how to walk on water. Peter tried to walk on water. And there's some things we're going to talk about today. And as we go through this, I hope it'll help you just a little bit in your giftings and your callings, and maybe help you understand that there's going to be some tests, there's going to be some trials, there's going to be some times you just have to blindly follow God. Know that that's what God's told you to do. And it's because God said it, you're going to do it. Amen? And that's just what you have to do. Let's read our scripture today, Matthew 14, verse 22 through 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get in the ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out with fear. But straightway Jesus said, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, we see something here, and I don't know if I'm going to say anything else about it, so I'm going to say it while I'm thinking about it. Peter stepped out in faith, but then he began to doubt. He had great faith, and then he stepped out in the storm, and their problems were there. The Bible said the wind was boisterous, and he began to be afraid, and he sank. He began to sink then, and Jesus saved him. So what God's called you to do, or asking you to do, you may step out in faith, and it might get a little boisterous, or a little trouble may come your way, and you may begin to sink, but don't be like Peter, where Jesus has to say, "Oh, thou of little faith." But what you do when you begin to sink is cry out, "Lord, save me," and let him help you. But have faith in God. So we have to have faith in God. So we all do this. So we've all had this emotional journey in our relationship with the Lord and this journey of faith. And how many have faith today? The Bible says, "Have faith as a grain of mustard seed." You can say, "This mountain, be thou removed, cast in the sea, and it shall be done." In other words, any problem you have, any situation you face, if you have faith, a grain of mustard seed is very small. If I was to hold it up here in front of you today, you couldn't see it. From back there, most of you couldn't see the grain of faith. You may know I was holding something there, but you wouldn't know what it was because you couldn't really see it. It'd be so small. It doesn't take much faith to move God. It doesn't take very much faith to move mountains, but you have to have faith. So remember that as we go through this, you have to have faith. You know how Peter, and you know the story, he got out of the boat, he walked on water, he came to Jesus, but seeing the wind, he became frightened and he began to sink. He got out of the boat. He was willing to have faith in God. But when he saw how rough it really was and how difficult it was going to be, he began to sink. Why? He got his eyes off of Jesus. And oftentimes that's a problem in the church and problem for Christians, is that we start strong, but we get our eyes off of Jesus. Why? Because there's situations, there's problems, there's things come up that are tough, they're difficult, and they're hard to do. They're hard to deal with. And so we get our eyes off of Jesus. We start leaning on our own flesh, leaning on the flesh, our own arm, instead of the arms of Jesus. We start thinking we have to figure it out instead of letting him figure it out or letting him lead. Because he's still leading the way, by the way. He is leading the way. He's going to take you where he wants you to go if you'll follow him and have faith in him. But we sometimes get our eyes off of Jesus, and then we start trying to figure it out for ourselves. And that's when we falter and fall. That's when we begin to sink. So there's some things we need to consider in this passage of Scripture, and some truths about faith that'll help you as you face the challenges that you have when God calls you out of the boat and in your own life. So hang in here with me for just a few moments. And anyway, number one, faith always involves risk. Faith always involves risk. No matter when you step out in faith, it's risky. It involves some risk. When Peter stepped out of that boat into a tumultuous sheet of waves, that it was risky would be an understatement. This wind was blowing contrary. They were having difficulty navigating the sea. The winds were boisterous, the waves were high, and he stepped out of the boat. So it was very risky. He could have drowned. He should have drowned. I mean, if you think about it through our sight, getting out of a perfectly good boat is like jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. There's no reason for it. You know, I don't see any reason to jump out of an airplane. If it's flying, I don't need to get out of it. I don't care if I do have a chute on my back. I don't want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. And I don't want to get out of a perfectly good boat if it's not sinking. I want to stay in the boat. But he could have drowned. It was risky also when the Apostle Paul traveled all the different places he traveled sharing the gospel. He knew the risk he was taking. He knew he might suffer death. If he wasn't suffering death, he knew he was going to have many, many circumstances that were unfavorable in his life. He knew that they were going to do some things to him that he didn't want to be done to him. He knew it was going to be risky, but he knew he could be persecuted sharing the gospel. It was risky in the early 1900s when missionaries packed their belongings in pre-purchased coffins to go to foreign lands with a one-way ticket to the mission field. They knew it was risky, so they prepared in case they would lose their lives going over to the deepest parts of Africa or wherever it was. They knew they were risking their lives, but they were willing to do it. They stepped out of their safety zone and stepped out in faith to see what God would do in their lives, because they knew that's what God was calling them to do. They knew Jesus was calling them to risk everything for His sake. That's what it means to follow Him. Look at Mark 8:35. I think I gave that to you. For what whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. You might lose your physical life, but if you're doing what Christ has asked you to do, you will save your life. You will have an eternal reward in heaven that will certainly outweigh any reward that you may have received here, any accolades of praise that you may have received because you were this great evangelist or this really super Sunday school teacher or whatever it is that you're doing for the kingdom of God. What God gives in return for your service to Him outweighs anything that you can receive this side of heaven. And it's worth the risk. We in America, and I think here in countryside, let's just put it that way, we don't understand the risk associated with serving Christ like many people around the world know that. You just got to read one article in the Martyr Voice of the Martyrs or some other publication, and you find out how difficult it is to live for Jesus, let alone share the gospel in foreign lands. The church in China is basically underground because of persecution. The church in North Korea have to go underground because of the persecution. The church in the Arab lands have to go basically underground, or and they don't go underground, but they worship freely, but they know in worshiping freely, they are setting themselves up for persecution, quite possibly death, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they are saying it is worth it. They say it's worth it. We think if someone doesn't shake our hand, looks at us a little bit different, don't share with us their dessert at lunchtime, don't open the door for them when they ought to, or too busy to speak to them for a little while, that they have been persecuted, done wrongly, and they want to leave the church. That's not persecution. You should be treated better than that, I'm sure. But sometimes the ones that are the biggest complainers are the ones that do the least. The ones that do the least sometimes are the ones that expect the most. But what I'm saying is this. When you're called into the mission field, into doing something for God, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be a mission field. We might be called to pastor, you may call to teach, you may call to do something else in the church. It still requires daily faith to carry the same all or nothing element. It's all or it's nothing for Jesus Christ. We gotta stop pity patting or whatever, playing patty cakes here. I mean, this is serious business. There are people going to hell all around us waiting, while God is waiting on us to come to the office that He's called us to. Waiting on us to start sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we're afraid. We're afraid to share it here in America. When other lands, they know they may give their heads for the share of the gospel and say, I do it freely and I do it willingly because I've sold out for Jesus Christ. When's the American church going to sell out for Jesus Christ? I saw a picture, and I've seen it before. I saw a picture today of a football game being played, a National Football League game. And it looked like it's probably at the New York Giants Stadium, one of the open-air stadiums. And I don't know exactly. I think that's an open-air stadium. And the fans were literally covered with snow. Sitting out there watching a football game covered with snow. And we can't go to church if it snows. But they not only got to the football game, they sat out in the weather, and you've seen it time and time again where they'll sit out in 20 degree weather or colder to watch a football game and shout and yell and booze it up for their favorite team. And here we are on Team Jesus, and we don't even go to church 100% of the time, we find excuses and reasons that we can't go. I'm preaching to the choir this afternoon. I understand that. You guys are here on a Sunday afternoon. I understand that. But I'm telling you, church, we are not the real church if we're not really getting in there and serving God. It's like pulling teeth sometime to get us to even raise our hands and worship God during a Pentecostal service. I'm thankful today for the move of the Holy Spirit this morning, where people were worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, and barriers were being broken down, and chains were being loosed upon people, and they were worshiping God, and the Spirit of God began to move. That's great. But we gotta get to a place that we're willing to do that anytime, in any place, for His glory. Faith involves risk. And then number two, faith defies logic and then trumps it. Stepping into the water didn't make sense. Getting out of a perfectly good boat didn't make sense, but there's Jesus coming walking on the water and leaving behind, just like leaving behind family and career and everything else for certain trouble isn't smart when some people go into ministry. But we're not asking you to go into ministry in that fashion, I don't guess. I'm not asking you to do that. But I think it's reasonable for me as a pastor to suggest to you that you step out of the boat and serve Christ in some fashion or manner in your local church. It might just be picking up a piece of paper. It might be washing dishes after a lunch. It might be teaching a Sunday school class, making yourself available. It might be helping clean the church up at some time or another. It might just be showing up on our biannual cleanup day. There's a lot of people can't even do that. There's other people that can come and sit down for a lunch with you and leave after lunch and go home and do whatever. What's wrong with you? I'm telling you, church, it's time for the church to really be the church. We have slacked off. We've dumbed down. Sometimes you got to give up something that's comfortable. You got it. Sometimes the preachers, a lot of preachers, you want preachers to do all this stuff. Well, preacher, you know, we used to be told this, sell your home, son. Pack up your babies. You know, grab your lady, get in your car and go preach. That's what God's called you to do. Go do it. Well, that's a little wacky, but a lot of guys have done it. You know what? God blessed it and God moved in it. But I haven't been called to go to a different continent. I wasn't called to move halfway across the United States. That wasn't God's plan for my life, and it's probably not going to be His plan for your life. But He is still asking you to take up your cross and let God be completely in control. Whatever it is He's asking you to do, you need to let Him be completely in control. Countless people, as well as the disciples, discovered following Jesus transcends natural intelligence or even conventional wisdom oftentimes. Marcus Yores, from whom I borrowed this outline, said, faith turns the tables on logic while turning life's waves into a foundation. Things don't go the way you think they should sometime, but when God's in control, everything works out. You're up on a firm foundation. I had a lady tell me recently, she stopped me, and I won't tell you who it is, but she stopped me just recently and said, Father Stone, I want to tell you something. She said, I so appreciate you. She said, I appreciate your wife. And since I've been in this church, back in this church, I quit you several years ago, but since I've been back in this church, I've learned more than I've ever learned in my life. I thank you for the firm foundation that you're building under me, and I should never have left. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, church, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble, and we walk out on a church that God has called us to. Recently, somebody else has said that God had led them. I've had this happen more than once. People say, God led me to the church. God led me to your church. God told me to come here and sit under you for a while, and within 5-6 months, they're gone. I said, God didn't change His mind in 6 months. If He wanted you to sit here in this church for a while, there was a purpose, there was a reason. It defies logic. This guy, I'm not the smartest one, I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box. I understand that. But if God's anointed me and God told you to come here, apparently I've got something. This church has something to share with you, and you have something this church needs. Maybe that's why we're not growing. The people that God's called here haven't come here. And the people that are here aren't doing what they're supposed to do while they're here. I'm just supposing. I don't know. You know. I'm confused as you are. Well, a couple of you, I'm not as confused as a couple of you, but most of you I am. I'm just kidding. Faith defies logic. You know, we came here, it defied logic. I had a good job. My wife had a good job. It didn't seem like, with no reason, we was in a good church. My children were happy where we were at. You know, we were, you know, I'd got dissatisfied. I'd started looking for another place to go, and God was pushing me out. God sort of ruffled, like the old eagle. He'd begin to ruffle my nest up, and when I'd get in there, it was, you know, couldn't get comfortable. I knew I needed to do something and go somewhere, do something different. And so, but my family was happy. They were satisfied where they was at. And my wife was productive in the church, and kids were satisfied being there. But God said, no, it's time for you to go. And so it wasn't logical, but it was a thing to do. So I started looking in the distance. I didn't look 7 miles from my, or 4 miles from my house, 7 miles from my local church. I looked further. I mean, God's going to, you know, we're going to move somewhere. God's pretty much showing me that. We're going to go pastor, and so we're going to move. We're going somewhere. It's not going to be 4 miles from my house. We're going to have to pack up. I was confident of that. But then God got to deal with me about this little closed building right here, that little building, 50 by 50, gravel parking lot. God got to deal. I drove by here every day, twice today, going to work, to and from work, and God got to dealing with me. Open that church up. God is not logical. It can't be your will. And he just kept on. Open that church up. God, I don't have the money. I said, open the church. I'll supply the money. You open the church. So I started checking in how to do it, what to do and what we needed and how much money we'd need. And I broke down a budget. I just needed $1,000 to open it. That's all I needed to get started, $1,000. Within 6 weeks, without putting one dime of my money in it, I had $1,000 in my hand. People I didn't even know gave me money to start this church. Isn't that funny? I didn't have to put any. I don't think I put a dime of our money in that first go around. I was able to rent the building, pay the utilities, build me a little sign, put it up on the road. And we're open for business, January 1st, 1991. We're open for business. I was expecting a house full. All I got was my five, my wife and my three kids. So I don't suppose I'm going to preach to y'all today. Let's just go home. We'll try it again next week. Come back next week and guess how many I had? I had five. Well, this must not be God. I'd ought to have some people. But you see, the weather was bad. 2 weeks of bad weather. Icy, cold. 2 weeks of bad weather. Wasn't logical. But then that third week, we showed up. We had 12 people. No. The third week, we had my five and two more. They never came back. I was so excited about preaching, I preached an hour to them two people. I've never preached that sermon since. Then the next week, Roy Flood, Tammy, their two kids came, along with his mother and father-in-law, and his cousin, and her husband, and their two kids. They came, they plugged in, They got excited. 69-year-old man, no, he's 65, just retired off of driving a truck, got saved. Got saved. Now it's worth it. Now it's logical. Now I know the reason. For none of the reason, if Wendell Harrison's the only one that ever got saved here, now I know why I opened this church, so Wendell could get saved. It's worth it. So if it defies logic. Faith is greater than your doubt. Matthew 14, Peter initiated the walk. He stepped out and he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. So he knew it was the Lord. And so, yet his prerequisite in identifying Jesus was birthed entirely out of doubt. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. He wasn't sure it was Jesus, but if it is, Lord, tell me to come to you and I will. So his faith arose out of unbelief, but it took only a mustard seed of faith for him to defy the laws of physics and walk on the water. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. It's you? Okay, I can walk on water. And so he stepped out on water. That defied all logic, didn't it? But it destroyed his doubt when he said, it's me, come on. And so because of Jesus, faith, even the smallest portion, can emerge from the darkest recess of doubt and triumph over our own defiance of God. It's very powerful. What faith can do, even mustard seed faith can do, it defies all logic and it causes you to do things that will bring glory to God. Peter stepped out on the water. How many of you have ever walked on water? I have, when it was frozen. But I've never walked on liquid water, have you? You heard the story about the three preachers, didn't you? There's a Baptist, there was a Catholic, and there was a Pentecostal. And they was fishing out at the side of the lake one day. And they was fairly close to shore, and they'd forgot their drinks. You know, they forgot their water, and all of a sudden the Catholic said, I think I'd like to have a can of soda pop. So, a Dr. Pepper, by the way. And so he jumped out of the boat, just went across there, and got the soda pop, and come right back off, and got in the boat. And the Baptist said, well, did you get me one? No. So, well, I'll get my own. So they took off across there, and he got him one, and come back, got in the boat, and the Pentecostal sitting there thinking, man, that's a Baptist and a Catholic, and they just walked on water. If they can do it, I'm bound to be able to. So he just hopped up and said, I'm going to shore. And he stepped out of the boat, and he sunk. They pulled him back up on the boat, and he sat there a little while, and his mind said, well, if they can do it, I've got to do it. I'm the Pentecostal. I'm the one, a man of faith and power. I'm going to walk on that water. So he stepped out of the boat and sunk again. Catholic looked at the Baptist and said, you reckon we ought to tell him where the rocks are? We've none of us ever walked on water. But we can do mighty things with God if we just have faith. And not doubt. Because our faith is greater than our doubt. We've got to not doubt. And faith is up to us. How long Peter remained in the miraculous depended on how long his level of faith stayed up as he walked through the storm. As we study the Bible, we find that faith is one of those few spiritual things God has placed in our hands. We can even pray for an increased faith, according to Luke 17, verse 5. We can pray, and I think there the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. We can pray that God will increase our faith, give us more faith, or give us a greater ability to use the faith that we've got. But faith is a muscle that we can strengthen each day by repetitive use. When we use our faith and when we step out in faith and we trust God, it's sort of like going to the gym. You first go, you're not very strong. And, you know, I started lifting 5-pound sacks of potatoes. And I do repetitions about, you know, several repetitions a day. And then I've moved up to 10-pound sacks now, and I do several repetitions every day. And next week, I already did, and I'm about ready to, but I moved up to 20-pound sacks, one in each hand. And I do this every day, about 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day. Now next week, I'm going to put some potatoes in that sack, but. But if we'll use our faith, if we'll use our faith, it'll build our faith. But when we live in doubt all the time, we're not going to build our faith. Well, God can't do it. Well, I know God can, don't you? But oftentimes we let our fear and our doubt tell us that God can't do it. And so instead of building our faith and stepping out in faith and seeing God actually do something because of our faith, which would build your faith, increase your faith, we instead say, well, I'm just not sure God can do that. He would do it for you, but I'm not sure he would for me. Well, you got to build your faith by stepping out on faith, testing God, if you would, trying God, letting God do, moving your life, moving that in a miraculous way for you, so that you know that God does it. So then the next time there's a trying of your faith, a trial of faith, or a situation that you need your faith, then you know that God's going to do it, so you immediately use your faith. And then God moves, so you're strengthened, and so the next time go around, you're even quicker to use the faith. Oh, I know God can do it. You know, you start quoting that old song, I know my God can do it, to him there's nothing to it. I know he'll see me through it. Sweet victory. We just start believing God for everything, but faith's up to us. You can sit there in doubt and unbelief and never have anything met, any need met in your life, or you can step out on faith and believe God for it and see something happen. And you need to do that, by the way. And faith and obedience go hand in hand. It goes hand in hand. Peter would not have stepped out if Jesus hadn't told him to. But Jesus said, come. So he was obedient. Lord, if it be you, bid me come. Okay, come. So Peter had faith. If it's God, he could walk on water. And when Jesus said, come, he was obedient to step out. Because if Jesus had said, come, Peter might have said, whoa, wait a minute. I just realized something. The wind's blowing. The waves are boisterous. And that is really water, but that's really water. Now, nobody walks on water. Except you, maybe, Lord. And I see, I'm pretty sure that's you. But Peter had no doubt that was Jesus. And so he mustered up his faith. He had a mustard seed of faith. He said, okay, the Lord said, come, I'm going to go. I'm going to see how this works. Now, the other disciples didn't do that, did they? They were cowered down in the boat, probably covered up with tarps, trying to keep the water off of them. Peter's there watching. There comes Jesus. And Jesus told me to come to him, so I'm going to get out of the boat. And so he stepped out of the boat. So we have to be obedient when God calls us or asks us to do something. It's very critical that we obey God's instructions to us. Whatever that might be, it's critical that we are obedient. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the ram, Samuel told Saul. It's better to obey than to sacrifice, Saul. God, I told you to wait, and you sacrificed. You did what you weren't supposed to do. You are the authority of the priest, did something you shouldn't do, and you cut off the blessing of God. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. And it is hard to impress God, who can breathe, whose breath can create a universe, and yet Jesus showed us that we can actually turn his head and arrest his attention when we rely on him with a risky faith. God breathed this all into existence, guys. God can do anything he wants to do. You can't impress God. But yet Jesus gave you the ability to do great and mighty things, and he turned his head and arrest his attention by your faith. Look at Matthew 8 and 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Where was that at, Matthew 8, 10? I want to read the preceding verses to you to let you kind of know what was going on. And what happened there was the centurion. Jesus entered into Capernaum, and there was a centurion came to him and had a servant that was home sick of palsy and was very tormented, the Bible says. And Jesus said, I'm going to come and heal him. I'll do that for you. The centurion said, I'm not worthy for you to come. Just speak the word. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. So Jesus said, I didn't found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. So see, if you believe God, take him at his word, Jesus will perform a miracle on your behalf. I believe this morning several people received their healing. Several people received their their breakout anointing this morning. They had some chains broken. Some situations were reversed this morning. You said, well, I don't know that I had anything reversed. Well, aren't you glad you didn't need anything that needed to be, have anything that needed to be reversed? But aren't you glad, equally glad, that those who did had a miracle take place today and God come on the scene to assure them that I'm working on your situation and I'm going to work it out for your good? Well, that's a promise from the Word of God. Romans 8:28 says, for this we know, all things work together to the good for those who love God, to them called according to His purpose. And so we know that things are going to work out for our good because we have faith. And if we're obedient in God, then God's going to pay attention to us. It's going to get His attention. And look at Matthew 15, verse 28. And Jesus said unto her, woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And so he had a woman there in Canaan, a Canaanite woman, whose son or daughter was vexed by the devil. And she came crying to Jesus, but he wouldn't answer her, and told her, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that lady said, but is it not meat for the children's bread to be cast? And he said, it's not meat for the children's bread to be cast to the dogs. And she said, Lord, that's the truth, but even the dogs eat the crumbs off the floor. Just give me a crumb. Just speak the word. And he said, lady, you got a lot of faith. And it's going to be just like you ask. I'm going to heal your daughter because you had faith. So that got his attention. What got his attention? That she was bold enough to confront him. That's part of it. But mainly that she had the faith. That she had faith. Well, Lord, I have a need, and it's a great need, and I don't have a lot of faith, but I've got a little bit of faith, and Lord, if I could just get a crumb. A crumb's all I need. I don't need the whole loaf of bread. I don't need the whole banquet table. I just need what's left over on the floor for the dogs to eat, and that'll be sufficient for my need. So we have to be obedient, and that gets God's attention. And then He'll move on our behalf. And so Jesus moved on her behalf. Look at Luke 21, verses 3 and 4. And this is where there was a lady. And a lot of people need to hear this. There's a lady, they were casting their gifts in the treasury. And there's a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And Jesus, now you say, Jesus paid attention. Yes, He did. He was watching what they were putting into the treasury. And he said, and guess what? He's still watching today what we put in the treasury. Of a truth, I say to you, this poor widow hath cast in more than all of you. You cast in out of your abundance, but she gave everything she had. She gave her last penny, her last mite. She didn't have no grocery money left. She didn't have gas money left. She didn't have the money to pay the doctor's appointment. She couldn't buy even so much as a slice of bread. She gave it all. That's faith. And am I asking you to do that today? No, but I'm asking you to be prepared to do what God says, to risk, have a risky faith and be obedient to God. If God was to tell you to give everything you got, you should be willing to do that. Every dime. And then God would be take care of you, and great would be your reward, by the way. But Jesus is paying attention. He pays attention to us. So when Peter caught Jesus' eye, and when he stepped out onto the sea, Peter can do it, so can we. He caught Jesus' eye. Whatever storm you face today, whether it's heading, just raising your family, doing your work, building a business, just need a healing, let your faith arise. Let faith arise. See God do something great and mighty on your behalf. You can walk on water. You can walk on water. You can see great and mighty things happen on your behalf if you'll trust God. Put your faith in God. Wouldn't you like to one day, if somebody was to write a book, to put your name in there as one of their heroes of faith? Wouldn't that be exciting? Maybe somebody just write a letter to a kinfolk. No, people don't write letters much anymore, but somebody just writing a letter or an email to one of their kinfolks or posting something on social media about about the church and mention your name in there, that you were one of the people that they looked to as their hero, one of their heroes of faith. They knew that you were somebody God listened to. Wouldn't that excite you? But even more so, wouldn't you be glad? Wouldn't you want God? Wouldn't you want Jesus Christ to pay attention and count you as one of the heroes of faith? One of the people that gets his attention? One of the people he knows he can depend on to be obedient and willing? We all ought to be willing and obedient. The Word says if we are, we'll eat the fat of the land. We'll do well. And I want to do well, don't you? I want to see God move. I'd like to see him move in our church. Amen. Amen. Well, stand with me. I think I'll quit.